ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वथा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेनी ब्रह्म हृदा या आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यल्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तपुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्झितकैदवोऽत्र वरमो मर्मत्सराणां सतां वेद्यं वास्तवम् अत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परे ईश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभितक्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुगाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदम् अभेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरम् आजुहाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयनयातरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदम् तमोऽहम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससोऽनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनाम् नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणितादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमामों विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वति देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे वन्दे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णश यासं हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं श्रीगोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वदालयेश मनिशं प्रतिभावयामि Last Sunday, we were discussing the first two chapters of the second canto, where Parikshit Maharaj put forward the first question, that what one should do when death is waiting at the doorstep or death is approaching him very closely. And in response to that, Sri Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit that the great transcendentalists, they win over death by two processes, and those two processes were discussed in those two chapters. In one process, where through the process of gradual liberation, a yogi who has practiced yoga system, Ashtanga yoga system, and he perfected that through his process of knowledge or through devotion, goes to the higher planetary systems and further to, right up to Brahmaloka, and along with Brahma, Lord Brahma, he goes back to the spiritual world. There is the other process, which was also Sukadeva Goswami describes to Parikshit Maharaj, that the devotee or a yogi who has already attained perfection in spiritual life, in this body, in this world here, right at this moment, he would wait till the body to drop off. But unlike the gradual liberation process, in this process, he will lose his material body as well as his subtle body at the same time. So when the material body and the subtle body falls off, eventually that living entity or the spirit soul in his pure identity goes back into the spiritual world without even touching any of the higher planetary systems. So these were the two processes which Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj in the first two chapters. And he also described there that how that process is achieved by what is known as sthula dharana and sushma dharana. That means process of dharana in a gross form, and that is also in a subtle form. So when these questions were asked by Parikshit Maharaj, and Sukadeva Goswami answered those questions, basically we have to think through this very, very carefully, because actually, because it was the first words what were spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, and because Parikshit Maharaj, being a devotee, was not too much aware of the karma, also the way karma actually influences the life of a person. Winning over death means actually how to win over death. That is the question here. And those two processes were discussed in the gradual liberation and the immediate liberation from this material body. But at the same time, Sukadeva Goswami also told Parikshit Maharaj that although these two systems exist, that tasmal sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrodavya kirtidavyascha smartavyam, that shrodavyam kirtidavyam shrodavyam means to hear, and kirtanam means to glorify, and smartavyam and to remember Krishna is sufficient even in this lifetime, even if one is not able to perform any of the other yoga system. So Sri Shukan wanted to bring that to the attention of Parikshit Maharaj. If you look into the first canon, you will find there that when Shavanakrishi was talking to, Sula Goswami was talking to Shavanakrishi, there also he brought up the same, exactly the same point what Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj in the process of devotion service, when he explained about that. He repeated the same message in the same words to Shavanakrishi in Nainisharanyam. So in other words, Sri Shukan spoke to Parikshit was very much in the mind, very strongly embedded in the mind of Sudha Goswami. And therefore, when he started talking Srimad Bhagavatam to Shavanakrishi and all the other sages who were assembled in Naimisharanyam, immediately first thing he brought out what is the same point what Sukadeva Goswami told to Parikshit Maharaj. Tasmal sarvalparajan hari sarvatra sarvadam, that there is only one job left for the living entity to do in this world if he knows that the death is coming closer, and that is that he should surrender everything to Krishna and continuously glorify, hear about Krishna, glorify Krishna, chant the holy name of Krishna and remember on Krishna. And this is the only thing what one has got to do before the death happens. This was Sukadeva Goswami's words to Parikshit Maharaj. But although Sukadeva Goswami spoke these words to Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami also wanted to elaborate on some of the other things which he has mentioned in these two chapters, particularly about the loss of karma. Why have we got this material body again and again? We have to accept this material body. This is the question. This material body is the result of karma. Karma means that is what is bringing us this material body again and again. That we have to repeatedly take birth in this world and we are not able to free ourselves from this. Why? Because the loss of karma comes in. And when that comes in, it brings forth along with that all the reactions of our activities in the past life, which generates another material body, and from we continue doing the same things, we create more material bodies thereafter. So this is our problem, that these three things, mind, body and the intelligence, the three things what a living entity has in his control, and that too only in the human body, that one has got all these three things in control. So we are using these three things to create more bodies. And it is with these three things that we have to free ourselves from this cycle of birth and death. So you can see how complicated it is. That on the one hand, we have got only these three things, mind, body and intelligence, to perform activities in this world. And it is with these three things only we have to free ourselves from the cycle of birth and death. And that is why it makes it more difficult. But actually, to strictly speaking, then the karma upasana. Karma and upasana means the karma as well as the bhakti process. These two things helps a living entity to escape from the cycle of birth and death. Cycle of birth and death means that jananam and mrti. That means birth and death. So we want to have free from ourselves from this. But how to act in these two things? Shastra says that particularly in the Vedic literature, in reference to karma, the instruction is that if one can act this without the understanding that I am neither the doer nor the enjoyer of the result. That means in the Shastra the words used is kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Kartrutvam means I am the doer and bhoktrutvam means I am the enjoyer of the results. If one is able to perform his activities in that consciousness, with that detachment, then he has succeeded in that process of karma yoga. But here the difficulty comes. If we tell ordinary to normal people whose mind and intelligence is so much spread around in the senses and the activities of this world, it is very, very difficult for them to understand this concept that I have to act in this world without being attached to it. Then the question will come, why should I act then? Automatically that question comes up. That if I have to act in this world without being attached to the result, why should I act? Why have they given me the eyes if I am not supposed to see anything? Why should I walk somewhere if I've been given the leg? For what purpose has it been given? So this question automatically comes in. In the Shastra, the understanding is that the reason why we are not able to understand that is purely because of what is known as avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Ignorance is a cause behind it. That because we do not understand the subtle laws of karma, how karma generates new material bodies, and how careful one has to be in handling this side of life, particularly the karmakanda side or the activities of human life, then it becomes much more complicated. So, because the normal intelligence of a human being cannot understand that, it becomes very, very difficult for them. And it is through that body and that through that karma and upasana, one has to release oneself from this cycle of birth and death. So Kartrutvam and Bhoktutvam, now these two things, what does it mean? Kartrutva means that when we perform activities, not to take the ownership to that. That means to act in this world with the full understanding that Krishna is behind everything and it is Krishna who is involving us in a particular activity. But that consciousness is very, very difficult to develop. And at the same time, upasana also. Upasana means that the bhakti process, the process of bhakti. When one constantly acts in this world without being attached to the results of his activities in this world, he is free from the loss of karma. But at the same time, out of the two things, the material body and the mind, the material body performs the activity. But although the material body performs the activity, the material body doesn't have too much of an influence. Or in other words, the karma doesn't impact on the material body to a large extent. But what is happening to the mind is, the mind gets too absorbed in it. That means it plans the work, it plans the activity, it meditates on the execution of the activity, and also it thinks about the results that comes from that activity. So that thought which has gone into the mind has involved in, attaches itself to that activity so strongly that life after life it stays in the consciousness. And when it gets a certain opportunity, it will come out again and will create more material bodies one after the other. This is the subtle side or the subtle law of karma, how it influences the mind. So out of the mind and the body, it is the mind that gets affected by the activities of this material world. So if one has been careful, one has understood this principle, but unless one has the very sharp intelligence to know that the intelligence which is already distributed in material life is very difficult to grasp this concept. And for them, the upasana process is recommended. Upasana means to worship the Supreme Lord without any desire from Him. That means just as a duty one has to serve the Lord. And in that condition, if one performs his material life at the time by performing his activities in this material world and with full detachment and serves Krishna without desiring any result from that person, from the Supreme Lord, then that living entity gets progressed in Devayanam process, goes back to the spiritual world. But this is the complications of the Karma Yoga system. But it is then Sukadeva Goswami had to explain certain things to Parikshit Maharaj at that point. When Sukadeva Goswami was talking to Parikshit Maharaj questions came up that there are so many deities people worship with a desire for results. This is the important thing. Everybody who wants to go to, there are two things. One wants to go back to the spiritual world. But everyone is not prepared for that. That although one may have a desire to go back to the spiritual world, at the same time, one will have a strong attachment to this material world as well. That means he wants to enjoy certain things in this material world because that desire, or in other words, what is known as attachment, has not gone away completely. So unless one is completely free from attachment in this material world, it is impossible to think or create that desire to go back to the spiritual world. Although superficially we may say that, oh, I would like to go back to the spiritual world. We may talk like that. But in reality, our mind is not ready for that, to going back to the spiritual world yet. Because our attachment to this material world is so strong and it is impossible to free ourselves easily from this attachment to this material world. So, that is where Sudeva Goswami wanted to tell Parikshit Maharaj that those who have attachment in this material world, those who are not ready for liberation, or those who are not ready for going back to the spiritual world, or whose mind is not completely released, freed from the attachment of this world, they have so many desires. And to fulfill those desires, so many demigods' names are mentioned in the Shastra, one whom one should worship. And for example, one who wants to have beauty, a beautiful body, he should worship the Gandharvas. One who wants to have a good marriage, he should worship Sri Parvati. One who wants to have knowledge, spiritual knowledge, he should worship Lord Shiva. Like this, one who wants to have children, they should worship the Prajapatis. Like this, a list of demigods and list of process of worship for them is recommended in the Vedic scriptures. Now, many of the people would like to have many of these things. So most of the people, some of us, in fact most of us would like to have all of it. Not that we are not able to give one of them. That's our position. We belong to that category. So it is there. So what one should do when one has all these desires, like one wants to have beauty, one wants to have wealth, one wants to have knowledge, one wants to have a good marriage, one wants to have good children, one, so many material desires. Material desires, there is no, it is unlimited. And when one has all these different kinds of material desires, whom they should worship. So in answer to that, Sukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param. That one who has a lot of desires, they should worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what the Bhagavatam says. If one has so much of material desire, that is not, we have to openly analyze this, that where is our position as far as material desires are concerned. If all the material desires have not gone away, it is still disturbing the living entity's progress. In other words, attachment in this material world is still strong. You should worship Krishna. And when that happened, there were other people also, like the four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara. They brought out this issue, suppose we have no desire, then what we should do? So it is in reply to that Parikshit Maharaj was advised, so Sukadeva Goswami said there that akama sarva kamova. Akama means one who has no desires, no material desires, like the four Kumaras. One who has come to that stage, that realization, there is no more material desire. Sarva kamova, that all the material desires. For example, material desires is such a thing that it is impossible to give them up easily. Although we may say so, that it is mentioned like this, that our material desires is better not to talk about it because we don't know what desires we have. And we don't even know what all desires are going to happen in the future. So, but even if it is like that, arthan kamana jasram vidarani paramananda sangram gadinjam. Krishna's position is like this. If you want to have wealth, come to me, Krishna says. Arthan kamana jasram. Krishna says, not once, as much as you want, you can have it. But you have to ask me and come to me and surrender unto me. Arthan kamana jasram vidarani paramananda sangram gadinjam. That not only that, the difference between the demigods and Krishna is, Krishna gives everything because Krishna knows our mind very much, more better than us. What we know about us, Krishna knows. And Krishna knows that this person who has come to me, sometimes devotees will ask, what is the nature of this Goloka Vrindavan when you go there? What's the situation like? Actually, they are not asking this question because they want to be there. They are comparing it with this material world and trying to find out, is this better or that better? So this is the actual reality is like that. But the way they will put this question to you is such, as so they have such a strong desire to go to Goloka and to engage there as Krishna's servant there. But when they are not ready here itself to be servant of Krishna, where is the question of becoming a servant of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan? The question doesn't arise. So, but still they will say, is that a place that, what happens there when we get there? What all things going to happen there? So all these inquiries is only to compare with the material world and to see, is this material world still a better place? This is clear proof of our attachment to this material world. We are not, it is not all that simple as we claim ourselves to be, that we are highly renounced, fully detached from this material world, and ready to go back to the spiritual world. Nobody is ready so far. It's all simply words only. Arthan kamana jasram vidaradi paramananda sandram gadimjam. Suppose our material attachment, one point is described like this, that I would like to have see my son, and I like to see my grandson afterward. I like to get him married, see my grandson. It's only after that my spiritual life will begin. To such an extent, we have attachment to family life. That is the reality of this world. Arthan kamana jasram vidaradi paramananda sandram gadinjam. Krishna says that if that is the case with you, be open about it. Come to me and ask what you want. And if that material desire is killing you, actually, One day Krishna will create a situation, then the devotee is eventually freed from that material relation, connection, material desires. So that is Krishna's mercy. By Krishna's mercy, one can come out of that attachment. Otherwise, it is not possible. Simply by changing the clothes, one does not become detached to this world. Material desires will come in different forms to that person. So it is a fact that the fact of life is that this so-called renunciation, what we proclaim ourselves to be, is not easily going to happen. So better to be honest to Krishna about that. Arthaṁ kāmāna jasraṁ vidaradi paramānanda sangraṁ gadimjaṁ ittham nishesha labhyaṁ niravadi kaphala parijādo hare tvam kshudrandam shakravadidrumam abhirasha divyartham arthiv rajoyam. Krishna is saying there that if it is like that, then even if you have such material desires, one day that material desires will also go, and eventually Krishna is in a position to offer the liberation also to the devotee. That liberation doesn't come easily. The thoughts of liberation to a person does not happen easily. Suppose in our own case, if you take it, say during the midday arati at 12:30, Krishna says, you come and see me after the arati, I will offer you liberation. I don't know how many of us will be straightway willing to accept offer from Krishna like that. Perhaps we'll think, I'm not ready yet. Maybe give me some more time. You know, I have a few more things to finish the business here. So this is actually the reality. That much we have attachment to this material world. Namnanam sanyidhatte sadanam abhivurantai anabhyarti dhanapyarthan kamana jasram vidaradi paramananda sandram yadinja ittham nishesha labhyum niramadi kabhala parijado hare tvam kshudrandam shakravadim drumam abhilashadim yarthamatim rajoyam. That these material desires, what has come to us, why did these material desires come? Because we are constantly going through the cycle of birth and death. As much as we go through more this cycle of birth and death, and unless we understand this, that it is this cycle of birth and death that is creating more and more material desires, and with the result, more and more material bodies. So from this point of view, you can understand that the karma, what we have performing in this world, has a very, very strong effect or strong influence on our destiny. Or in other words, what's going to happen to the living entity. The impact of our activities is so powerful that unless one comes to terms with it, and one understands that, and purify his own, one's own existence by acting properly. This is why the purification comes in. Now, that purification of one's own karma or one's own activities in this world is possible only through the process of karma yoga. So that is why it's necessary that the process of karma yoga is to be understood, and it should be practiced in the right way. So in the karma yoga process, eventually karma yoga brings us to the understanding of bhakti. So when the karma is purified, when one's karma is purified, when one is able to act in this world without attachment to the results of one is performed, his mind, his activities are purified, and his consciousness also gets purified in due course. So that is the process. Then the consciousness eventually realizes that this material attachment, what has been causing me and generating more material bodies, more and more material bodies, eventually will go away from one's own consciousness, and one is able to act without attachment, and one is able to act without the desire for enjoyment. So both these things will go away, one will be able to act on a higher platform of spiritual life. And that is the process of liberation for that individual. So in this way, it is mentioned that akama sarvagamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param. Shishu and said to Parikshit that if one has no material desire, akama, but he has got all the material desire, sarvagamo va, then like the Kumaras who said, who don't belong to neither of these categories, moksha kama udaradi, that one who has got strong desire for liberation, even those people, tivrena bhakti yogena, that he should worship Krishna with full intensity. That means complete determination. He should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param. The Supreme Lord Krishna, purusham param, he alone has to be worshipped. This is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sukadeva Goswami sent this to Parikshit Maharaj. And he explained about all the different demigods being worshipped by the different people with the desire for fulfilling different material desires, who are not ready yet to go back to the spiritual world. All these things were spoken at that time, and it was at that time that Sukadeva Goswami's this conversation was repeated by to Sudha Goswami to Shravanaka Rishi, and Shravanaka Rishi at that time analyzed the human society in a nice way. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find in the third chapter that there is an analysis of us people, we all of us belong to that group, where Shravanaka Rishi has a total fantastic scrutiny of us, people like us, very nicely done. Taravava kinna jeevanni, that he is asking this question to Sudha Goswami. Shravanaka Rishi was the head of the sages who were assembled in Naimisharanyam. He says to Sudha Goswami, Tarava kinna jeevanni vastranam shasandhyuda na khadandi namahyandi kingrama pashavoparam. That Sudha Goswami, Shravanaka Rishi was asking the Sudha Goswami, Tarava kinna jeevanni, that although the trees and plants and animals are not living in this world, is there any difference between them? Are they not living like us in this world? Vastra kinna shasandhyuda, just like the bellows in the blacksmiths, the bellow is generating the air for making the oven blow further. So like that, they are also breathing, is it not? They are also doing the same thing like us. Is there any difference? Na khadandi namehandi kim gramam pashavoparam. Are they not eating and are they not having sex life like the human society, these animals in these villages also? Shovidvara hoshtrakare samstuda purushat pashu nayal karna katho vedam jadunama gada grajaha. That it says in the Bhagavatam, Shovidvara hoshtrakare. It is such a remarkable statement from Shravanaka Rishi to Sudha Goswami. Shovidvara hoshtagare. He has generally classified all of us into four groups. And it is very nice to call these four groups dogs, hogs, camels and asses. This is the category he has put us into. Why he has said like that? He has not said that we shouldn't take offense about it, because this classification is not based on our body. This classification is based on our consciousness. Shovidvara hoshtagare samstuda purushat pashu nayal karna katho obedam jadunam gadagrajaha. That shuava vidvaraham hoshtram ushtam and kharam. That means dogs, hogs, camels and asses. These four categories the human society of today will fall into very nicely. Why? Shovidvara hoshtagare samstuda purushat pashu. Because this society thinks that it is a very, very advanced society. But from the spiritual point of view, it is the most degraded society. Why? Shovidvara hoshtagare. Our intelligence is not far from the intelligence of these four categories of animals. Why? Shuava. Let us take the first one. Shuava means dog. Why are we like dogs? Because the whole lifestyle, what we have generated in this world today, is more of like a dog's life. And therefore, we have to accept this. This is the statement of the sages. The sages are saying to us, if you continue this lifestyle, it's not congenial for spiritual life. You will never understand what you are. Simply engage in filling the belly day after day and looking for sense gratification. That is the business of the dog. So, shovidvara hoshtagare. Then comes to vidvaram. Vidvaram means the hog which roams around in the village eating the stool. This is our nature. Why? Because the kind of foodstuff what the human society is consuming today in the name of so-called scientific advancement is not much different than the varaha's food. Vidvaraham, all the hogs who eat the stool. So it is so downgraded. It's a degraded way of eating. Shovidvara hoshtagare. Then the camels. Camels are, what do? Camels eat and they eat the thorn. When they eat the thorn, with that, the blood comes out from their own throat. And when the blood comes out, it starts eating the thorn. It thinks it's very, very tasty. Similarly, this is the way the sense gratification of the camels go. So exactly like that, if the human society is also simply destroying this valuable material body in sense gratification, According to Shaunak Rishi, he is not much better than any of these four classes of animals. Shovidvara hushtakare samstuta purushat pashu. Then the last of the four, the asses, karam. Why is he considered asses? Because it's an ass-like life that he has created, the civilization, which has increased the sense gratification to such an extent that it has to toil day and night just to maintain this body in this world. To such an extent, it has caused problems. And this is not a very intelligent way of life. This is what Shastras are saying, that if one wants to culture spiritual life, one wants to advance spiritual life, he has to restrict or minimize his needs in this material world. Shovidvara hoshtagari samstuta purushat pashu nayal karna gatho vedam jadunama gadagrajam. That to such a person, it is very difficult to understand the holy name of Krishna and its potency. That is what Bhagavatam says. Nayal karna gatho vedam jadunama gadagrajam. That he is not able to appreciate that there is spiritual life, the Krishna's holy name and Krishna's pastimes to be relished by. But he's not able to do that. Why? Because his mind is absorbed in so many other things. And it is to this person we are talking about Karma Yoga. So what possibility is there to understand what Karma Yoga is? So this is why Shastra says that because it is Karma Yoga is so difficult to follow, and it is not possible to understand in the principle that you have to act in this world. A person who is so much attached to the material way of life and who wants to enjoy the material sense gratification, to such a person, talking to him about Karma Yoga is not going to help. Shovidvara hoshtagare samstudak purushat pashu. That he is a purusha pashu, he is an animal not much different than that. Nayal karna katho vedam jaduna amagada agrajam. That in the Bhagavatam, Shavanika Rishi mentioned this to Sudha Goswami. Bilevado yukrama vikramamye nashurnude karnapudo narasyam. That the jikvasadi dardurige vasulam najovagaya turidaya ghadaham. That Bhagavatam says there that bilevado yukrama vikramamye, that we have got these ear holes, the senses have been given to us. There are five senses of knowledge and five senses of action in this material body. So these, out of these 10 senses, which are all the time busy in engaging this material body, bilevado yukrama vikramamye na shrunado karnavado narasyam, that if one does not use these ear holes to hear about Krishna, then that ear holes is considered to be just like the holes where snakes go in. The snakes go and rest in any hole when they find on the ground. They will just go into it and make it as their house or make it as their dwelling place. That's how the snakes do. So similarly, Shavanika Rishi says to Sudha Goswami, bilevado yukrama vikramamye na shunnado karnavado narasyam, that if our ear holes, if it is not hearing the holy name of Krishna, or if it's not hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then that holes are considered to be those suitable for these snakes to come in. Na shunnade karnavado narasyaha. Then bilevado yukrama vikramamye na shunnado karnavado narasyam. Then Urukaya ghadaham. That even in the jikhvasadi dardurige vasudam, my dear Sudha, Shaunagrishi is saying, jikhvasadi dardurige vasudam. And this person is constantly engaging his tongue in talking all sorts of nonsense in this world. He's talking so much nonsense, it is just like considered to be like a frog who is inviting the snake to come. Just like in the rainy season, when the frogs start making that crow noise, immediately the snakes know that the frog is there, and he comes in and eats up the frog. So similarly, by this talking all sorts of so-called science and so many other things, what we call as the advanced knowledge of this world, by talking all these things, ultimately we are only inviting the sin called the snake called the death to come closer to us and eats us away. Jikhvasadi dar durige vasudam suda nacho upadaya turugaya ghada. That if he is not hearing about Krishna constantly, if he is not engaging in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or chanting the holy name of Krishna, ultimately it says, Shaunagrishi says to Sudha, that this is the position of this world. Bharaparam Bhattagiri Rajushtam Aputamangam Namame Mukundam. That suppose somebody is wearing a big crown with nicely decorated with jewels and gold and everything, but if that head is not doing obeisances to Krishna, It is just a weight on his head. That's all. It has no higher value than that. Bharaparam Bhattagirira Yushtam Apyutamangam Naname Mugundam. That if he is not paying his obeisances to Krishna with that head, what is the use of having a head and a crown? This is the question Shaunak Rishi is asking. That Hare Ilasal Kanjana Kankanovam. That if his hands are used only simply for decorated with golden bangles and jewelry, what use of that hand? Hare Ilasal Kanjana Kankanovam. Kuridasavaryam, that if it is not used for serving Krishna, those hands, they are also useless. So, like this, Shaunak Rishi spoke to Sula Goswami a lot of things about the human society. So, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there that Shaunak Rishi was actually addressing to Sruta and referring to all the sages' realizations on this matter. And they told Sula Goswami, tell us more about Krishna. We want to hear what Parikshit Maharaj continued listening from Sudeva Goswami. So in response to that, again they were talking about Sudeva Goswami, Sri Shukan wanted to talk Srimad Bhagavatam. He told Maharaj Parikshit that I have told you the two processes of liberation. I have also told you about the opportunity the demigods have, the demigods can provide all the blessings or the mercy from the demigods, what one can get. But although I have spoken about it, you should not worry about it. This is the way he said to Parikshit, because you still have 7 days time left, and I will at that time talk to you about Krishna and Krishna's glories. And in this way he was going to talk Srimad Bhagavatam. But in Sudeva Goswami's mind, a doubt came in at that time. The doubt was this. It was not exactly a doubt to say, but actually in his mind what was going through was that I'm going to bring Srimad Bhagavatam now to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is very, very enthusiastic to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But before I begin Srimad Bhagavatam, when I talked about this Karma Yoga, Karmam and Upasana, generally it is very, very difficult for people to understand this Karma Upasana. So at that point, Sukadeva Goswami prayed to Krishna. Because Sudeva Goswami's mind, it was very clear that unless Krishna shows some mercy now, it is difficult for this message to be understood by the world. When Sudeva Goswami was talking to Parikshit Maharaj, he was very much aware that this Srimad Bhagavatam which he is talking to Parikshit Maharaj will stay in this world. And if a scripture like Srimad Bhagavatam has to stay in this world, those who read Srimad Bhagavatam should be able to get the benefit from that. And what is the ultimate benefit? Kaivalyega prayojanam. That one who wants free oneself this cycle of birth and death one after the other. That stoppage of cycle of birth and death is the ultimate success in that spiritual life. So kaivalyega prayojanam. That the kaivalyega prayojanam, kaivalyam or liberation from this material life is the process possible with the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the success of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, if Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood by the general mass of people, it was not Parikshit's problem. Parikshit was already in an elevated state that he was the devotee of Krishna. And he only wanted to hear about Krishna. So, Parikshit Maharaj was concerned, it was not a problem. But all the others who follow later on Srimad Bhagavatam will find that difficult because they are not become that devotees of Krishna yet. But they still are looking for spiritual life and they want to free themselves from this first question, what he has asked, how to come out of the cycle of birth and death. But they have that desire, but at the same time, desire for Krishna consciousness has not come in. So, to them, to such people, Sudeva Goswami realized that unless Krishna shows some mercy to them, it is not possible for them to understand this process. Because bhakti, where is the question of understanding bhakti? When karma yoga itself is very difficult to understand. Our mind and intelligence is so much distributed in this material world, in so much of sense gratification, and so many other millions of things, whatever we have, businesses in this world. And for a mind which is so much absorbed in the materialistic thoughts, it is impossible for that mind to understand the process of Karma Yoga or Krishna consciousness. And if that is the case, where is the chance of understanding Bhakti Yoga? Where is that question doesn't arise. So that is why Sukadeva Goswami at that point prayed to Krishna very openly. And it is mentioned, it is known in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Shuka Saraswatam. Shuka Saraswatam means that when he was talking to Parikshit Maharaj, He said to Parikshit Maharaj, you still have 7 days time left. That was the time given to by Shringi. Now, out of that 7 days, some hours have already gone away. But still, the remaining time, I will make you hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But when he said this to Parikshit Maharaj, what was going through Sahadeva Goswami's mind was that if Parikshit Maharaj hears this, and later on the future generations who hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if they have to hear, and all those sages who were present there in the assembly along with Parikshit on the near Ganga river, on the banks of the river Ganges, who were all listening, if they all have to sit there and listen to Bhagavatam, that means it requires a tremendous effort from Sahadeva Goswami. Because generally for people to listen to something for a very long time, it's very, very difficult. What to speak about 7 days, even seven hours is difficult. Even 1 or 2 hours we get fed up, by then we are not in a position to hear more than that. Our ability to absorb things, grasp things, and absorb the points what Sahadeva Goswami was making was very, very difficult. Sahadeva Goswami realized this. And it is in response to that, he prayed to Krishna. Two things. One, to show some mercy to all the people present there and for the future generation. And secondly, this prayed to him that Krishna should give him the ability to speak Srimad Bhagavatam properly. So these prayers are known in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now actually, Vag Devata is Saraswati, the demigod who is actually in control of our speech, or he is known as Saraswati Devi. Saraswati is in charge of the is Vag Devata, who controls our power of speech. So actually Sukadeva Goswami should have prayed to Saraswati for this ability to speak, or the Vag Vaibhavam as it is mentioned. But did Sukadeva Goswami pray to Saraswati? He didn't pray to Saraswati. Why? He prayed actually to Krishna. Because Sukadeva Goswami knew very well that Saraswati Devi, who has got that ability to bless a devotee, to speak nicely about Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam, that blessing, power for blessing any devotee for Saraswati Devi has come from Krishna. So knowing very well, Sukadeva Goswami at that point didn't pray to Saraswati, although the prayers are called in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Shuka Saraswatam. And so he is praying to Saraswati, but actually the whole prayers is addressed to Krishna. So it is in that prayers that, so there is about 12 verses, and it is the Sukadeva Goswami's prayers, how a personality like Sukadeva Goswami prayed to Krishna, and that is what you find in those 12 verses. And that is where Sukadeva Goswami said to Krishna, that addressing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, glorifying what Krishna is capable of. That is how Sukadeva Goswami began his prayers. That what he is capable of, he started glorifying Krishna. Tapasvino dhanaparayashasvino manasvino mandravida sumangala kshemam nandamindandi vinaya darpanam tasmai subhadra shravase namo namam kiradahu namra kulinda kulkasam abhiragangaya vanakasadaya yenye jababa yaduva shraya shraya shudhyandi tasmai prabhavishnavi namam Sriyapadir Yajnavadir Dharavadi Niyampadir Logam Sriyapadir Yajnavadir Prajavadir Diyamvadir Logapadir Dharavadi Padirchya Vrishnyandaga Tudambadi Vrishnyandaga Prasidami Bhagavan Sattvadambadi. That he continued glorifying Krishna one after the other. Kiradahu Nandra Pulinda Vulkasam Yal kirtanam, yal smaranam, yal ikshanam, yal dvannanam, yal chavanam, yal ahanam, logasya sadyo vidunam, digalmasho, tasmai subhadra shravasaya namo nama. That Sukadeva Goswami is saying to Krishna, yal kirtanam, yal smaranam, yal ikshanam, glorifying whom? Glorifying Krishna. Yal kirtanam, yal smaranam, remembering whom? Remembering Krishna. Yal ikshanam, seeing whom? Seeing Krishna's deity. Yal kirtanam, yal smaranam, yal ikshanam, yal dvannanam, paying your obeisances to whom? Obeisances to Krishna. Yadvannanam, yadshravanam, yadarhanam. Then again, one should, yadvannanam, yadshravanam, hearing about whom? About Krishna. Yadshravanam, yadarhanam, logasya sadyo vidano digalmasham. That by doing that, the sinful reactions of one's activities goes away. Logasya sadyo vidano digalmasham, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namam. That is how Sukadeva Goswami began those prayers. that he was glorifying Krishna to such an extent. Yal kirtanam yal smaranam yadirchanam yad vandanam yachravanam yadahanam logasya sadhyo vidinodigal masham tasmai subhadra shravasay namo nama kira alaho namra kulinda vilkasam abhira ganga yavana khasadaya yenye jababa yaduvashraya ashraya shuddhyandi rasmai prabhavishnave nama. That there is a reference to almost all the species of in this planet. Is referring that kira adaho nandra pulinda vilkasam. These are all different races of human society in this world. Now, it is not spoken with the intention of insulting anybody. That is not the idea behind it. But actually, the way he has put those verses there is kira adaho nandra pulinda vilkasam. Who are these different races? That is also mentioned in Proverbs. When he has commented on the Srimad Bhagavatam, he has given where they actually belong to. But actually it is not spoken with the intention of insulting anybody, but it is only referring to that those who are not fortunate enough to take birth in such a way that they were not able to have that spiritual culture in their life. Because a spiritual understanding of life from the early days helps a person. Kira adahonandra pulinda pulkasam abhirakanga yavana khasadaya yenye jababa yaduvashraya shraya shudhyandi tasmai prabhavishnave nama. That even those people who had got birth in such difficult circumstances or due to circumstantial reasons, they were not able to develop spiritual life from early days, even such people by whose association, by whose mercy is purified, I am asking for Krishna. He said to Krishna that I ask for your mercy to show on everybody. This is Sukadeva Goswami's prayers. Because Sukadeva Goswami prayed like this to Krishna, and that is precisely the reason in the Bhagavad Gita also you will find there. Abhijayal sudhiracharo bhajame mananyabha sadhureva samandavya samyang vyavasidohisam. In the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says there that till yesterday what one has done is not important for Krishna. As far as Krishna is concerned, today what you are doing is important. Abhijayal sudhiracharam, even in the past life one has led a life which is full of sinful activities, or if one has been driven by due to circumstances in different situations, it does not matter. As far as Krishna is concerned, if he has come to Krishna consciousness, if he is chanting the holy name, or if he is chanting Hare Krishna, and if he is following the principles of Krishna consciousness, that he should be considered as a saintly person. This is Krishna's verdict on this. Abhijayal sudhiracharam. Abhijayal sudhiracharam. So Krishna has given this instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami's prayers to Krishna is that please show some mercy on all these kind of people who were not fortunate enough from the early days in life to take to Krishna consciousness. And that is what is referring to all the different groups of people. Kirada honandra pulinda pulkasam abhiraganga yavana khasadaya yenye jababa yaduvashraya shraya shudhyandi. That if such a person who has not been fortunate enough to serve Krishna from the beginning, even if such a person takes the shelter of a devotee, who in turn takes the shelter of another devotee, like that coming from Krishna, that one is able to serve a devotee in that situation. Yenye jababa yaduvashraya shraya shudhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave nama. That is the potency of Krishna. He is able to purify even that last person in that chain of devotees who comes from Krishna himself to the last person. So in that way, Sukadeva Goswami prayed to Krishna. So when he prayed to Krishna, Shri Appadar Yajnamadir Prajavadi Diyampadar Lokavadar Dharavadi. That Krishna is the master of everything. Shriyapari is all the opulences, Krishna is in control. Yajnavari, all the sacrifices, Krishna is in control. Dharavadi is the control of this planet. Shriyapadir Yajnavadir Dharavadi Priya Prajavadi is the master of all the prajas, all the living entities. So like this, Vrishtyandaka Sattvadambari. And so this Sattvadambari, Krishna alone has to be worshipped. This was the verdict of Sukadeva Goswami in the beginning itself. And after speaking that, he said that Bhunte Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodasha Almagam Solam Krishishta Bhagavan Vajamsimim. Then the last words from Sudeva Goswami was that, "My dear Krishna, if I have to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, please come and decorate my words." This is how Sudeva Goswami finished praying to Krishna. So in these 12 verses, which is known as Shuka Sarasvatam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, eventually the prayers from Sudeva Goswami was so devotional to Krishna, that requesting Krishna that without your mercy, I will not be able to present Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit and to this world. So when this happened, did Krishna come and help Sudeva Goswami? Did he come and decorate his words? That's the question. Yes, he did come and decorate his words. And that is what you find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. From now on, when Sudeva Goswami is speaking, you will notice the way the words were flowing from him and Parikshit was listening. That for 7 days, not only Parikshit, all the sages who were present there, they have not taken any food or they have not slept. Why? Because it was Krishna was speaking through Sudeva Goswami so nicely that he was able to focus them. If you want to keep the people listening and attentive, then you have to have that vagvaibhavam or the ability to speak like that. And Krishna through Sudeva Goswami presented that Srimad Bhagavatam. And those 7 days, all the sages were present there. Thousands of sages were present in the Ganges. They continued to listen Srimad Bhagavatam from Sudeva Goswami. What was the result of that? Now, Krishna gave this present of Srimad Bhagavatam or ability to speak to Sudeva Goswami. But what did Krishna get out of it? Krishna also got something from that. That's more interesting than the other side. Why? Normally you give something to somebody, the one who gets receives it as the benefit. One who has given it, he has lost it. But Krishna's way of doing things is such, when Krishna gave this special ability to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Sudeva Goswami, Krishna also gained something from that. And that is, there is a famous prayers for Krishna known as Shri Krishna Ashtavatara Shatam, 108 special names of Krishna. And in that, one of the names is come from this blessing what Krishna has given to Sudeva Goswami. It mentions there, Shri Shuka Vag Amrudem Binduye Nama. In other words, what it means is that Shri Shukan's words, Sudeva Goswami's words, which are like nectar, and those nectarian words were like in an ocean, and which were going like flowing like in an ocean, just like the waves were coming. And what causes the waves? In the time of the high tide, a full moon actually pushes the water. It creates those waves in the ocean. And it is compared to that. Exactly like on a full moon day, when it creates a high tide of waves in the ocean, exactly in the same way, the waves were created, and Sukadeva Goswami started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam at that point. And that is how the soil bhumte bhujan shodash shodashal padam soilam krishishta bhagavan vacham simin. That Sukadeva Goswami's prayers were so touching that Krishna had to come and accept and glorify Sukadeva Goswami through presenting Srimad Bhagavatam through him. So this is the two chapters of third and fourth chapter in which Sukadeva Goswami's prayers to Krishna, what is known as Shuka Sarasvatam, and in the other chapter, Sukadeva Goswami spoke about the different desires of the living entities, and he had to make it very, very clear there that this desire for going back to the spiritual world does not happen very easily. Most of the people in this material world, although we may like to understand spiritual life, we have a certain understanding of that, of the need to go away from the material life. Still, our material desires do not easily go away like that. And that unless and until that desires are fully finished, or material desires completely given up, one does not qualify oneself to go back into the spiritual world. And this is precisely the reason. It is because of this that the process of gradual liberation has been created. That means that if there are still lot of material desires there in a living entity, he gets an opportunity to get them fulfilled during his transmit through the higher planets back to the spiritual world. the only possibility of those who are able to go back to the spiritual world on an immediate liberation is those personalities who had such a higher level of transcendental realization through their spiritual process and who have already gone through this process in their previous lives and come to perfection in their transcendental knowledge. But normally for the ordinary living entities, that possibility is not there. It's mostly that they have a lot of material desires, but at the same time, due to material distress conditions, at the same time not able to appreciate material life, but still the desire for maintaining in this material world and living in this material world is very much strong in their mind. So, the process of Bhakti Yoga, as it says there in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the other Shastras also, is so nice that even if one has not reached that level of renunciation or detachment to this material world, still he is able to practice it. Whereas in the other processes like Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga requires a completely different frame of mind and compared to the Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga process is easy to follow and easy to practice for the ordinary people. So, I will just read those two chapters from the other.
Vishwan Devan Raja Gama Sadhyan Samsadavo Visham Ayushkama Ashwino Devo Pushtigama Milam Yaje Pravishta Gama Purusho Rodasi Logama Daravum Rubavi Gama Gandharvan Sri Gama Saravu Vashim Adivatya Gama Sarvesham Yaje Varaneshtinam Yatnam Yaje Dishaskamam Kosha Gama Pradedasam Vidya Kama Stugirisham Dambatyartam Mam Sadim Dharma Tautamashogam, Uttamashogam, Tandum Tangan Pidam Yajel, Rachagama Punajanan, Ojaskamo Marujanan, Rajagamo Manundevan, Nidadim Dujaran Yajel, Kamagamo Yajel Soman, Adama Purisham Param, Akama Savagamo, Mokshagamo Dharadi, Tibrena Bhakti Yogena, Yajela Purisham Param, Edavani Vajadam, Yamishreya Sodaya, Bhagavatya jaro bhavo il bhagavala sangalam Jnanam yada apada nivartta guno agmi chakram Aitma prasadam udayatra muneshwa sangam Kaivalya sammada valastvada bhakti yogam Ko narvado arikatha suradim naguryal Shri shavna gavajam Itya vivyakadam raja vishamya varadarshabha Kimanyal prashtavan bhuyo Vaya saimushinkavim Edashushoshanam vidvan sudanorkasi vashinam Tathahilga dordakkam sadam susrusada sidruvam Savai bhagavado raja pandaveyo maharadha Balakreda nagai kredan krishna kredam yamadale Vaiyasa gishcha bhagavan vasudeva parayana Virugaya gunodaram sadam surkhisamagami Ayurharadi vaipumsam udhyannastam jayayayannasav Tasyarte yakshanomidam uttamashroga vartayam Taravakim na jeevandi vastrakim na shasamjida Nakadandi namehandi ujjama pashavopari Shuvibvara hoshtagare samstuda purushapashu Nail karnaka dhobedam yadunamagada grajaham Bilevalorukrama vikramangi nashabnudakkarna mudena rasya Jikhvasadida abdubige vasudam achobagaya tirugaya dharaha Bharapparam battagirita dushtam apyuttamangam nanamemukundam Shavu Karano Kuridasa Variam Karelasal Kanjanakan Ganavam Brahai Dena Inaranam Ingani Vishnoman Rishaloi Padoganam Dodumajan Mahajo Chetrani Sanu Brajado Haririam Jiva Chavo Bhagavadam Virinam Najadamatio Vireveda Yastu Shri Vishnavadyam Yatulasyam Sasanjavo Yastunaveda Gantham Tadashmasaram Kurayam Badenam Lagrahyamane Harinamadeyam Namikreta dayada vigaro netre jalam yatriruhesu harshaham Adabihesh adabihesh yangamano yugulam Prabhashate bhagavata pradhanam यदा हमय्यासज्ञात्मविद्यां विशारदोऽनुपदिं साधुपृष्टाः इति श्रीमद्भागवते महापुराणे द्वितीयस्कन्धे तृतीयोऽध्यायम् श्रीसूत उवाच वैयासगैरितिजस्तत्त्वनिश्चयमात्मनापदारिमतिं कृष्णे औतरेयसदीं विधाल् आत्मजायासुदाकारं शुद्रं न बन्धुषु राज्ये च विगले नित्यं विरूढां ममदां हरिममदां जहौ पप्रच्छेममेवात्तं यन्नां पृच्छत सत्तम कृष्णानुभावश्रवणे श्रुतदानो महामनां संस्थां विज्ञाय सन्न्यस्य कर्मत्रैवर्गीयं जयेल् वासुदेवे भगवति आत्मभावं दृढं गदाः श्रीराजोवाच समीचीनं वचो ब्रह्मन् सर्वज्ञस्य दवानः नमो विशीदिरे मह्यं हरे कथयद कथाम् भूय एव विविलसामि भगवानात्ममायया यथेदं सृजते विश्वं द्रुविभावमधीश्वरैः यथा गोपाय देवैर्यदा संयच्छरेवनां यां यां शक्तिमुपाश्रित्य पुरुषशक्तिपरपुमन् आत्मानं क्रीडयन् क्रीडन् करोति विकरोति च नूनं भगवतो ब्रह्मन् हरेरद्भुतकर्मण द्रुविभावमिवाभाति कौमिश्चापि ज्येष्ठितम् यथा गुणांस्तु भगतेर्युगमल्कमशोभिम विभर्ति भूयशस्त्वेयं कुर्वन् कर्माणि जन्मभिः विचिकित्सितमेतन्मे ब्रवीदो भगवान् यः शब्दे ब्रह्मणि निष्णातं परस्मिंश्च भवान् खलु श्रीसूत उवाच इत्युपामन्त्रितो राज्ञा गुणानुकथने हरे ऋषिकेशमनुस्मृत्यं प्रतिवर्तं व्रजक्रमे श्रीशुक उवाच नमः परस्मै पुरुषाय भूयसे सदुद्भवस्थाननिरोधनिलय गृहीतशक्तित्रदयाय देहिनम् अन्तर्भवायाम् उपलक्ष्यवर्मणि भूयो नमस्सुद्धिदिनच्छिरे सदाम् असम्भवाय अखिलसत्त्वमूर्तये पुंसां पुनः पारमहंसमाश्रमे व्यवस्थितानाम् अनुमर्ग्यदाशुषे नमो नमस्ते ऋषभाय सत्वनां विदूरकाष्ठाय मुहुक्कुयोगिनम् निरस्तसाम्यादिशयेन राधसा सुदामयि ब्रह्मयं शिरे नमाम् यत्कीर्तनं यत्स्मरणं यदीक्षणं यद्वन्दनं यच्छ्रवणं यदर्शनं लोकस्य सद्यो विनोदि कल्मषं तस्मै सुभद्रश्रवसे नमो नमाम् विचक्षणाय चरणोपसादनात् सङ्गं विदस्योभयोन्तरात्मनम् विदन्दिहि ब्रह्महरिं गदक्लमं तस्मै सुभद्रश्रवसे नमो नमाम् तपस्विनो दानपरायशस्विनो मनस्विनो मन्त्रविलासमङ्गलम् क्षेमं न विन्दन्ति विनाय दर्पणं तस्मै सुभद्रश्रवसे नमो नमाम् किरातहूणाङ्गपुलिन्दपुल्कसम् अभीरगङ्गायुनाखसादय येने च वावायुदमाश्रयाश्रय शुध्यन्ति तस्मै प्रभविष्णवे नमाम् स एषमात्मात्मवदामदीश्वरस्त्रयमयोधर्मवयस्तवोमय गदगदीके अलिशङ्करादिलिङ्गो भगवान् प्रसीदताम् श्रियपदिर्यज्ञपदि प्रजापतिर्भ्याम् पदिर्लोकपदिर्भयामदि पदिर्गतिश्चन्द्रवृष्णिसत्त्वनाम् प्रसीदतामि भगवान् सदाम्बदि यदग्रविध्यानसमाधिलोभयो लोभय ध्यानवश्यन् हि दत्तमात्मनम् वदन्ति चैदल्कमयो यथानिजम् समे मुकुन्दो भगवान् प्रसीदताम् प्रचोदिरायेन पुरा सरस्वती विदन्वदाजस्य सतिं स्मृतिं हृदि स्वलक्षण प्रादुरभूल्किलास्य तमे कृषीणां शवप्रसीदताम् भूदयर्महवीर्यं मा पुरो विभुर् धर्माय शीलेयदंशु पुरुष भुङ्क्ति गुणान् षोडश षोडशाल्पदम् सोऽलं कृषीष्ट भगवान् भजांसि मे नमस्तस्मै भगवते व्यासायामिद तेजसे प्रभुज्ञानमयं सौम्य इन्मुखाम्बुरुहासवम् एतदेवान्मभूराजन् नरदाय विपृच्छते वेदगर्भोऽभ्यदाल् साक्षाल् अदाहं हरिरात्मना श्रीमद्भागवते महाराणे द्वितीयस्कन्दे चतुर्थोऽध्यायम् सो वी विल् फैण्ड् हियर् दट् आफ्टर् सुदेव गोस्वामी प्रेड् टु कृष्ण हि गोट् अप् फ्रम् हिस् सीट् वेर् हि वास् अड्रेस्सिङ्ग् टु परीक्षित् महाराज एण्ड् द सेजस् एण्ड् नेक्स्ट् टु देम् there was Srinarada Maharshi and Yadavyasa Maharshi was sitting there. So this Srimad Bhagavatam has come to Parikshit, to Sudeva Goswami from Yadavyasa Maharshi. Yadavyasa Maharshi got Srimad Bhagavatam from Srinarada Maharshi. So as before he began this, when Srinarada Maharshi and Yadavyasa Maharshi heard that Sudeva Goswami was going to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, they also felt extremely happy. That because Vedavyasa Maharshi also felt that he has taught Srimad Bhagavatam to Sudeva Goswami. So just before he began, he got up from his seat and paid a complete full obeisances to Vedavyasa Maharshi, to his own father. That is what you find there. Namastasmai Bhagavate Vyasaya Amida Tejase. That Amida Tejasi, that is that personality of Vedavyasa Maharshi.
And to that Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sri Shukan paid his obeisances and then he begins the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll stop there and if there's any questions or comments.
You know, in your previous class you mentioned how Sukadeva Goswami, he was an incarnation of Lord Shiva.
Yes.
Is there a story behind that?
It is in the Garuda Purana, yes. Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he had no children, and Vedavyas went to Mahameru Mountains and started performing very severe penances there to please Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, after seeing the penances of Vedavyasa Maharshi, he came down and asked Vedavyasa Maharshi what his desire is. And Vedavyasa Maharshi said to him, I would like to have a son who had all the strength of five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. So Lord Shiva told him that these five material elements, which are Krishna has created in the process of creation, is actually also under the control of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva said, if that is the case, I have to come down as your son. And that is how Sukadeva Goswami was born as Vedavyasa Maharshi's son. And this story is mentioned in the Garuda Purana. Garuda Purana talks about how Sukadeva Goswami was born as the son of Lord Shiva, took birth as his son, and who was able to and so that's why you see all that realizations of Sukadeva Goswami as much as Lord Shiva had in these things, and that's the story behind it.
How to annihilate the Sakti body is last to the class before I
ask. The annihilation of the subtle body is the most difficult thing. Annihilation of gross body is not very difficult. that doesn't take much time. But this annihilation of the subtle body is actually the liberation process. The liberation means actually annihilation of material body, no more to birth and death, as well as the subtle body. But the subtle body follows us. It doesn't leave us. We have no way of getting rid of it from us. So these two processes of liberation, Kramamukti and Sadhyamukti, which is known as the gradual liberation and immediate liberation, that when one becomes advanced in the spiritual life through the process of karma and upasana, and he becomes a devotee, and when the consciousness is fully purified through devotional process, or through spiritual knowledge, both ways it is possible. The jnanis purify, the jnanis get rid of the subtle body through knowledge, and the devotees get rid of the subtle body through devotion. So that is the process. That when they become, their devotional process becomes absolutely, top notch. Yes. That situation happens, then he is released from that subtle body, drops off, just like the gross body. So then that means there is no more material desire in that person's heart. This is what it means. That we may say that our material desires, we have no material desire, but it is not so simple as we think about it, that how much material desires are there, and which we are not even aware of, our own material desires. So, and to say that all these material desires have gone away from us completely is a very, very difficult thing. So when all the material desire is totally finished, Krishna knows that this person's consciousness is so pure that he can go back to the spiritual world. Then, at that time, the subtle body drops off. And then he goes back to the spiritual world, breaking the shell of the universe, he gets back into the spiritual world. Otherwise, that is why this Kramamukti process of gradual liberation, which is said in the first chapter, is because of this only, that many cases, they become qualified. They won't get another material body again, but at the same time, the subtle body has not left him. So he has to go through that process of the planetary system, gradual liberation.
Somebody.
You mentioned the two processes of liberation.
Yeah.
And what is the destination of those devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Vasudev Datta, Vasudev Ghosh?
Prahlad Maharaj's relationship with Krishna was, as you know very well, what it was. Well, Nrsimhadev, he has his own planet, Nrsimhadev's planet. You find in the fifth canto that where Prahlad Maharaj is engaged in the worship of Nrsimhadev. And he has his own planet, Lord Nrsimhadev's planet. In that Vaikuntha planet, he serves the Supreme Lord in Nrisimha form. That is his liberation state of dasima servitude. That. But that servitude process, what Prahlad Maharaj has achieved, is the topmost what one can think of. It is so perfection in that particular rasa, what he has with Nrisimhadev. That you will see in the seventh canto, that when Prahlad Maharaj was offered boon by Nrisimhadev, because he has killed his father, and he was feeling compassion for Prahlad. After all, even though he was a demon, it was his father. So he felt compassion for him and said to Prahlad that you haven't got a father now anymore, but ask me something so that if I go away from here now, and if you want something, who is going to provide you that? Nobody here there to look after you. So ask me something. And he kept pestering him to ask for a boon. But it was then that Prahlad showed his real form. What did he say at that time? He said to Nrisimhadev that if you keep insisting that I should ask for a boon, if you keep insisting I should ask for a boon, I will ask for it and you should give it to me, he said. Nrisimhadev was very anxious to know, what is it? Tell me, what is it? What do you want? If you agree to give me this boon, give me this one particular boon which I want from you, that I never get a desire to ask you anything. This was his desire. So you can see from this what type of devotee he was. I mean, we talk about gopis' devotion. No doubt gopis were in an elevated state as far as their devotion was concerned. Gopis had the direct association of Krishna, and that is what has brought them up in their spiritual life, that who are so fortunate enough. But here is a person who came from birth, took birth in a demoniac circumstances, having heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Srinarada Maharshi in the womb of Mother Kayadhu. And here he comes out and he's saying to that, and his another request was to Nrisimhadev was, even if anything happens, let my father, who has acted so cruelly to me, and who has offended you so much, let him not go into the hellish conditions again. This is how he prayed to Krishna. Seeing this, Nrisimhadev's tears came from his eyes, seeing this child's that purity of heart. And that is why it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there in the seventh canto, Narvairaya Prashandaya, that if there is any devotee in this world who has that consciousness of Prabhupada, is there anybody can you find? That's what the question. Narvairaya Prashandaya, no enmity towards anyone in this world. That was his greatness. That even that father who has done so much of cruelty, showed so much cruelty to him, Prahlad is wishing him a better life in the future. And these are the spiritual qualities of Prahlad. And this is what Prahlad is teaching us, that this is what the way of a devotee going up. Narvairaya Prashandaya Sosudaya Mahalmani Prahladaya Yadadruhi Hanishyevi Varojyam. That when the demigods prayed to Krishna, that this Hiranyakashipu was creating so much hell for us because he has thrown them out from the heavenly planets, and the demigods have been thrown out and they are wandering around everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu was taken over. And Krishna is saying to them that when all the Vedas, Brahmanas, cows, temples, everything has been destroyed, but when he touches my devotee Prahlada, then I will act, he said. And so that's what it is. That devotee Prahlada, one person, was enough to purify the whole world. So that's the relationship.
So Satvatambari is just the meaning of
this. Yes, Satvatambari means he is actually, you will see this in the first canto also, that the Satvika worship is Krishna, actually, Satvika in the mood of goodness. And Krishna is in control of the mood of goodness, so therefore he is Satvatambari. That's what it's coming from. compared to Brahma or Shiva, that worship of Vishnu is special because of this, that Satvika qualities brings in and purifies the heart to clean than anything else. Therefore it is given a special position.
This chapter 4 is titled The Process of Creation. So the mainly verses consist of the Sukadev's prayers.
Mm-hmm.
What is the connection is this? Why is it titled the process of creation?
Yeah. The process of creation is mentioned there like this, that when when Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to him about the different kinds of getting out of the cycle of birth and death, he spoke about the two ways you find in the earlier chapters, the Kramamukti and Sadhyamukti. And in that process, Udaya Goswami told him that to tell you this fact, in presenting to you properly, I have to start from the beginning, he said. Beginning means the process of creation. I have to start explaining that. And that is what you find in that chapter. Then, so there was something we want to start with, the process of creation. So he mentioned very briefly there that actually from now on it's more difficult. Srimad Bhagavatam is getting very, very hard. Why? Because from here onwards, the next chapter particularly, it begins there, Sri Narada Maharshi asking the process of creation there at that point. It is in the next chapter which actually comes in detail. But in this chapter, they have asked, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know about the living entity's destiny at the end. And at that time, Sudeva Goswami said to him, if I have to tell you that, I have to start from the process of creation. So he started that very briefly there, but actually it starts in the next chapter in many detail.
I'm aware that I'm a spirit soul and currently I'm inhabiting my material body. I was wondering if you could enlarge upon the nature of the subtle body for me. I've heard this term, but I'm not too clear exactly what the subtle body is.
Yeah, subtle body means that in our the material body is made of gross material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. So the subtle body, which is carrying the spirit soul from one body to another, is basically the mind, intelligence and the false ego. These three things together form the subtle body. So when when a living entity dies, when we say death, what actually happens is a gross body dies. The subtle body doesn't die. Subtle body goes along with the spirit soul to the next body. And this subtle body is more or less like our record office, you can say. All the records of the person is there. Is stacked up in that, like a computer memory hard chip. It's there, sitting there, with all the data there. What all we have done, what we have been doing in so many lifetimes, it's all there in that. And you can see that when a living entity takes birth, takes a new body, actually, it is also very interesting. Once one person came and asked a sage that where is the proof of reincarnation? That was the question. And why do you stress on this karma so much, the law of karma? So the sage told him, you go next to the children's hospital. He didn't answer the question. Go there and look for some time what's going on in every ward and come back and tell me what's happening there. So he went into the children's hospital where new babies were born. And when he came back, he asked him, what did you see there? He said, I've seen a lot of new babies who have taken birth there. So he said, how did they look like? He said, every one of them looked different. Some of them looked very nice, some of them didn't look very good. And some of them had very wealthy parents, they were looking after them nicely. Some of them were very poor people. So he said to him that, why is that difference? Why this difference happened from the birth itself like this? Before even the child has even come to the world, it's just arrived and this fresh born one. And how did this difference happen? And one child was crying and another child was looked after very well. So all these subtle differences, what's happening in a living entity's life, is to a large extent that is coming from this subtle body. And this subtle body will start throwing out its storage at different circumstances. For example, we got a talent for music. Now what is this talent for music? It's coming from the last life. Not that there is what the scientists call it as a gene. Everything you can keep calling it as a gene. But the fact is that the subtle body already has that strong In his past life, he has cultivated so much musical talent that musical talent has followed him in this life as well. Only thing is, as soon as he got an opportunity, it started coming out. And then suddenly he is known as a famous musician. If it is true with the musicians, it's also true with the great jnanis. Jnanis means people who have realized the self through their knowledge. And then, so among great jnanis also it is said, this jnanam or this knowledge of self-realization didn't come to them in this lifetime. It has come from the past life. So this subtle body, you can see how much it takes us in all the time going along with us. And that subtle body is the seat of everything. In the subtle body, we have got our desires, we have got a record of our pious activities and sinful activities, our consciousness, it's all affected by this subtle body. So if the subtle body is somehow thrown away, or subtle body die away, then you are released from the cycle of birth and death. It doesn't happen. Because the karma, whatever we have performed in different lifetimes, that karma is sitting there and fructifying it, giving new material bodies all the time. So that new material body process stops once for all when the subtle body dies away. The death is always not what we want. The way we like to die doesn't happen. We can only say, like Tamal Krishna Maharaj's life, why it has happened, I do not know why it happened. If Krishna's name is Hari, that word is justified when these things happen, that he takes away our life, our wealth, everything in a second when he wants it. So that is Krishna's control. We have no knowledge about it, why it happened and how it happened, I do not know. But to die in different modes is considered, for example, if one dies in a Jagrat, Jagrat Avastha means in awakened state, it is a good death considered to be, because we have only three states of existence, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. So in the Jagrat state, the living entity, when it leaves the body, it goes into a higher destination, or it is in the Satvam stage. In the Swapnam state or the dream state, it stays in the material world. It doesn't go through the... it goes, doesn't elevate itself. Urdhum gacchandi sattvastam madhye tishtandi rajasam. That's what it says. And it says in the material world again. Now, when a living entity is forced to die in coma, or one dies in a situation like that, the generally it is said that the tamogunam is very strong at that point, or the mood of ignorance is predominating at that point on a living entity's life. So this is the general conclusion in the Shastra about the death, in three modes of nature, how one dies. But having said that, a devotee's destination is in Krishna's control. It is very difficult to say that even if a devotee has left his body in difficult circumstances, what he has done for Krishna is always a something which Krishna never forgets. So the Krishna has a way of judging these things, which I don't know what it is, but one has to imagine that it is nice to die in a nice way, you know, in a Krishna conscious conditions environment, devotees chanting the holy name or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or in the association of devotees. To leave the body is the best, there's no doubt. But sometimes in life things happen like that. But what is the destination? That is, I couldn't tell you, that's beyond my understanding. Because a living entity's karma and living entity's directions is judged by higher laws and higher nature. And then it becomes very difficult for us to say what is going to happen to that person. But what one has done in this life is never erased for in Krishna service. So that's only credit what one has to look upon. And that is why, because we do not know when it will happen and how it will happen, whatever time we have, and when the body and the mind is in a good shape, one should use it for Krishna service. Because it may not be possible that that can happen any time. Nobody has any control on that. Then, as said in Bhishma's prayers, it's mentioned there very clearly that Vedavyasa Maharshi kept this message very strongly there for the world to understand that we have no freedom to decide when to die. We have no freedom to decide where to die. We have no freedom to decide how to die. But we have one freedom, and that's all what Krishna has given us. We can pray to Krishna, this is how I want to leave this world. So, if you pray like that to Krishna, that devotees all around chanting Hare Krishna, somebody reading Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and remembering all the festivals what you were able to celebrate with the devotees, and remembering Krishna's beautiful form in the temple, if one can leave the world, that's the best. But that also depends on Krishna's mercy. That, so today you can pray to Krishna, that's all you can do. That this is how I would like to leave this world. And Krishna is merciful that if one who has prayed like that, he normally doesn't let them down. He will make an opportunity for the devotee to leave like that.
It's not sure that if you pray like that, you will get it.
Well, if it depends on your prayer, how you pray. it's not nice to now analyze what has happened to Maharaj. Maharaj has done so much for Krishna's sake, and due to some circumstantial reasons, it has happened. And I don't know whether he has prayed. How can I say that?
I asked this question on devotee, and devotee said, "If you are fully engaged in Krishna consciousness." Ask this question, when the terrible accident happened, how can we remember Krishna?
Yes.
The devotee said, if you done devotional service for Krishna, even if you forget, Krishna will never forget you, he said.
Yes, it is in the Ishovanishad also, it says like that, that even at the, whatever you have done in this life, that the prayer is like this, that please remember that, what we have done, what I have done for you, addressing Krishna, the devotee is praying like that. But although it is like that, that we pray to Krishna in that way, still a devotee like to desire that he would like to leave his body in the association of devotees. That desire is always there. Ultimate destination, nobody knows what Krishna has kept in store for anybody, any one of us. That is totally in Krishna's hands. But we have this freedom today that we can pray to Krishna that this is what I would like to leave, how I like to leave this world. And if that desire is strong, Krishna will make sure that one gets that opportunity to leave the world like that. Everything depends on the sincerity also of the person who is praying to Krishna. All the great devotees, they pray to Krishna like that. That Vilamangalam used to pray like that to Krishna. Kulsharalwar played like that, yes. Vilamangalam says that Devayi Tanaya Pujana Puda, Pudanai Icharano Tagadhoda. He says, where is death? He said, let death come to me. I am not worried. Why? Because he was feeling so strongly in my mind. Devayi Tanaya Pujana Puda. I have with these hands. I have served the son of Devaki Devi. I have served Krishna. Pudanari Charanotaka Dhavada. That I have drank the water what was used for washing Krishna's lotus feet, who is actually the enemy of Pudana. Pudanari Charanotaka Dhavada. What will, he says, Yadeham Spudhi Dhananjaya Sota. Krishna has gone and driven the chariot of Dhananjaya, which is Arjuna. Arjuna's chariot Krishna has driven. And then I remember that chariot driver. He says, Kim Karishiri Same Yamaduda. What will Yamaduda do to me at the time of death? To ask this question, you have to be so sure in your mind that Krishna will protect me. So once you have reached that level of realization, can say like that. But our case, even Parikshit Maharaj was having doubt, what will happen to me, he said. So a person like Parikshit Maharaj is feeling that doubt about his own destination. So naturally he was concerned, and that is why he kept saying, repeating that, tell me about Krishna. Because he also wanted to leave this world, hearing about Krishna. So from this we can see, Bhishma wanted to leave the world, hearing about Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to leave the world, hearing about Krishna. So what does he understand from this? That is the right way to die. To leave the world, hearing about Krishna. Chanting the holy name, hearing about Kirtan, glories of Krishna. Remembering the Lord in the temple, association with devotees, festivals, everything. All these are nice things to remember while leaving this body. That's what it is pointing out.
One
both have done the same, devotional service. Yeah. One is initiated, the other one is aspiring. So, if initiated, devotee, past karma is cancelled out. So, that in that position, then aspiring self. No. Past karma is not fully cancelled. This is a misunderstanding actually. Karma is divided into three categories. Prarabdham, Agamam and Sanjinam. These are the three categories. When one is initiated, Agamam and Sanjinam goes away. Prarabdha karma remains. And it is the prarabdha karma that is keeping us in this world, in this body. And that body, prarabdha karma, normally is not taken away by the spiritual master or Krishna. Krishna keeps a person in the prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma means that your total account of karma in your mind, which is constant in your consciousness, a part of it has been given in this lifetime. That means when you got this material body, it's already decided that you will have a certain degree of happiness and distress. And that karma, which has come out of your bank account, from the total karma, is known as prarabdham. What is remaining back there is known as sanchitam. And what karma you are going to create in this life for the future is known as agamam, which is going to create in the future. So this agama karma stops as soon as one has completely taken to the process of Krishna consciousness, if one is following it strictly. Sanjita karma, which is already there, that also goes away. But prarabdha karma don't go. That is the law. Srimad Bhagavatam also says the same thing. Prarabdha karma is never taken away. Either by Krishna also won't take it away normally. Normally he doesn't. Only in extreme circumstances when Krishna decides, because it is against the law of nature, Krishna also follows that law very strictly. That generally, that is why in the Bhagavatam you will find Chitrakedu had to become Vritrasura. You know that story in the seventh canto? Yeah. There is a story of a devotee who had to become a demon. And that has happened because of prarabdha karma. He accepted that. He said, it is my prarabdha karma. I will accept that, he said. Similarly, there is also the story of the Jadabharata, which is the story of a great king, saintly king, Bharata Maharaj. He went to the forest to practice penances, and at the end he had to take the body of a deer. Why did that happen? That is prarabdha karma. He had a prarabdha karma behind it. That was the reason behind it. So this prarabdha karma is not easily taken away by Krishna. Krishna wants the living entity to go through that prarabdha karma and then come back to the spiritual world. So, the two kinds, sanjitam and agamam, goes away, but prarabdha karma remains with the person.
You told last time, prarabdha karma drops when the devotee drops the body, you said.
Yeah, it's only at the when the...
in devotee's case.
Yeah, when the devotee's case, Krishna, if he shows extreme mercy to that devotee, then he will take away the prarabdha karma also. But that will only happen in very, very, very rare cases. That prarabdha karma is taken away by Krishna. Otherwise, prarabdha karma remains with us.
You said prarabdha karma is a small percentage of the sanchit karma.
It depends how much prarabdha you have created. You don't know. This is not something I can put it on a pie chart. Prarabdha karma is not something you can measure it like that. the laws of karma and the measurement of karma is something which is too subtle to know how it works. So you can see a living entity's life when it's suffering too much. You have to accept that majority of cases it is prarabdham, that is forcing that living entity to suffer, like certain illnesses and certain things where you find that whole lifetime person suffers and that particular body, and that is prarabdha karma. It is. And there is a science behind it, and there are books about it, but to study all that and to understand it, what does it matter at the end, we have to suffer anyway. So whether you know the theory or not behind it, it's not going to solve the problem.
If the mission, so to speak, is to get back to Godhead, why back home, back to Godhead, is that where our spirit soul
Yes, the living entity, we are all living entities, aren't we? So the living entity has fallen off from the spiritual world into this material consciousness. And since then, we have got these different material bodies. Now, it is pointless when to inquire when this has started, because it has started so long back. The fact is, all the acharyas will answer in this question in this way, that the point to remember is this, that the living entity is suffering in this material world. That is a fact, which we all know, that everyone is experiencing distress in this material world. So, immediate thing to do is to understand how to come out of this distress, distressful condition. And then, when you get back into the spiritual world, then when one is relieved from the material way of material consciousness and material life, and then he can inquire about his real past life, how far he had fallen down and when did falling down happens. But otherwise there is no method of finding out exactly. There is a process of knowledge called as Trigalakyan. Trigalakyan means knowledge of past, present and the future for a living entity. So the great sages, they had the knowledge of these things, that they were able to ascertain when a living entity has fallen down from the spiritual world and how long he is going to stay in the material world before he goes back to the spiritual world. Now, that is the Vedic knowledge. Vedic process is always saying that the important thing is to understand that we are in distress. We are suffering in this material world in some form or the other. So first come out of the disease and then think about the other problems.
If we eternally stay there, if we could make it back there,
yes. Prabhupada says about that, there is always a chance that although it is a permanent place in the spiritual world also, that sometimes it can happen that we have that minute independence what Krishna has given us. If we abuse that, and we want to be independent of Krishna, that our attachment by some reason diminishes, then we may want to come back to this material world again. That desire can happen. But that happens only in very, very rare cases. But when you see the population of this world, you have to believe that there's a lot of people who are in that category as well. So, but the thing is that the process of spiritual world and going back to spiritual world, it's all a question of consciousness. That when the consciousness is purified, our understanding of these things also changes. Like for example, today what you think as distress, for example death. Death is a distress, isn't it? Death is a distress for all of us. We feel distress when somebody dies, isn't it? Or when we also have to die, we feel distress. But is that distress correct actually? In reality, it is not true, is it? Because what is dying actually? I'm not dying, the body is dying. But our problem is that we haven't got that realization in us. So basically, it is the ignorance that's causing that problem. So by this process, in the Shastras it will say like this, that if somehow or the other you can remove that ignorance from you, which is so strongly imbibed in your consciousness, which is creating this illusion all the time, I am dying, I am taking birth again, I am experiencing happiness and distress, and I am going through the cycle of birth and death. In reality, all this is, it has not much meaning, because it's all happening to the body. but the person is not actually involved in that. But somehow or the other, due to the strong link between the body and the soul, which we feel, very strongly we feel, that we are finding this birth and death as important matters. But we are not in that consciousness. That is the difference. A realized soul thinks that particularly those who are going back to the spiritual world, completely purified in this material world, they will have the least concern about their material body. They just wait. It is considered like this. You know this coconut? Inside the coconut, the nut inside, when it gets dry, if you shake it, it will start making noise inside. That means it's not touching anywhere. So the soul is considered to be like the nut inside the coconut. Coconut, when you have a complete shell, inside the shell you have got this nut inside. The nut doesn't touch anywhere. If you shake it, it makes noise. So this is the stage of that person who is ready to go back to the spiritual world. In other words, complete contact with the material body is lost. Not physical contact, the consciousness, contact through consciousness is completely lost. But they are called as the Jivan Muktas, one who is already liberated right in this world. They are already liberated. Why? They are only waiting for the body to drop off. And once it is dropped off, they go back straight to spiritual world. So that is one kind of liberation which is not possible for everybody. Ordinary people will not reach that level of consciousness easily. It comes through many, many... Bahunam, Krishna says, Bahunam janmana mande yanavanam prabhadyare. Many, many, many lives has to pass through before one comes to that kind of consciousness.
So if it is so difficult for an individual, if it's so rare for a person to go back to Godhead, would it be better for an individual to worship the demigods then? And do you understand what I mean? It would be more beneficial to do that and then perhaps make a little advancement for the next lifetime and then...
No, it's not. Because... demigods worship will only provide material happiness. And this demigod worship has got one problem, that once when one gets too much of material happiness, he wouldn't want to go from here. He wants to stay here forever. Because demigods are giving all the facilities. So he's thinking that, well, compared to Goloka or to Vaikuntha, still it's not too bad here. So he will continue. That is what happens to the Mimamsakas. Mimamsaka means those who perform sacrifices. Why? They don't want to go back to spiritual world. They'll perform sacrifice. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Shine Gune Martilogam Vishandi. He wants to perform sacrifice, go to the heavenly planets, enjoy there. When it's finished, come back here again, perform sacrifice again. And it's just like we work here and for the whole year and make some money, go to Tenerife or somewhere else, blow up the whole thing and come back here and work another year. And it's the same mentality, it's not much different than that. So they will never come out of the material world. They will stay in the material world. So the process of liberation means it's not easy to get that desire for liberation because we don't know about spiritual world enough. So because we want to make sure first before we go there everything is okay there. So it's natural. So that's why it is holding us back, because we don't have that sort of faith in the Shastra. We still think that it's all nice there, but. Is that really where I want to be? That question comes in. So, but that will come when the detachment has come to enjoyment in this world. Total renunciation comes in. So it is then only that one can say that one is qualified and the desire is strong to go back to the spiritual world. Up to that point, we have both material life and spiritual life go side by side here till we come to that point.
Prarabdha karma, can we look at it as a special mercy? Prarabdha karma, can it be looked at as a special mercy?
Prarabdha karma is, as a saying, that prarabdha karma is our own karma, but we are meant to enjoy or suffer that in this lifetime. So when we suffer that prarabdha karma, if one prays to Krishna, Krishna will minimize it to some extent, not to affect it too much, because some of the prarabdha karma is too heavy to carry even, like certain illnesses, for example, which carries you through whole life, and Because after all, even for spiritual life, one needs certain health in the body. If there's no health in the body, there's no point in telling somebody who is very ill that you have to chant Hare Krishna and telling him about spiritual world. He's not going to listen to it. He cannot listen. After all, his body is giving him so much trouble. So in such situations, only you realize that prarabdha karma can be an impediment even in our spiritual life. So therefore, one has to pray to Krishna that this prarabdha karma is giving me so much of hassle that at least don't attach me anymore this karma bandhanam. Karma bandhanam means that when you perform any action in this world, as I said before, the body is not affected too much. Body does the karma and after some time it's forgotten and gone. But all the activities what you have done, those activities creates further desires comes out of it. More and more ideas, plans, how to enjoy and what kind of benefit you can get from that and what you have experienced and distress in that. All these thoughts are in the subtle body working there already. Any activity you perform in this world is like that. So those activities which are working in the subtle body like that, that will generate another body again. So this is called karma bandhanam. Bandhanam means that tie-up, tying up, bondage. Karma bondage is this thing called this karma bandhanam. So if devotees pray to Krishna, then don't create this karma bandhanam anymore. Don't create me this bondage anymore. Please relieve me from this bondage. Because he knows that the karma is such an important factor in life that if you continue doing things, it will bind you more to this world. So this freedom is possible when Krishna gives some mercy, one can be taken out of that. That one will be able to act with full detachment in this world without being affected by anything. That means kartrutvam, that I am the doer, then goes away from that person. That's why if you look at very spiritually elevated people, you will find that they have no kartrutvam. They will act in this world for the sake of Krishna, but at the same time they are not too bothered what the result is coming out of it. They are not expecting that result will turn out the way they wanted it. In addition to that, they also don't have what is known as bhoktrutvam. Bhoktrutvam means I am the enjoyer. That attitude is also not there. So once these two things go away, their karma, what he performs is in pure Krishna consciousness. That means it's not binding anymore. But it's not something theoretically you can say. It has to come in the practical life.
Sorry, I'd like to continue on that. When I said special mercy, I was driving it towards the desire of the devotee to serve, do this devotion service, serve Krishna, by serving other Krishnas. In that sense, I was saying special mercy.
Yes, if you serve the devotees, obviously Krishna is pleased with that service and Krishna recognizes. And it actually purifies one's karma in that way. By doing service to others, it's naturally it's a purification process. Like, so many philanthropic activities are performed, even in the other processes of religion also, like opening schools, hospitals, things like that. That's all done with the same intention, to purify one's karma. And serving devotees also, from that point of view, is the right thing to do. When one serves devotee, one gets purification. But at the same time, if all the service is done without any desiring from that, any results from that, without any expectation of any benefit from that, then that will purify that person. That's a purification karma on that side, actually.
When you are doing
service
to Now you are cutting down karma according to that, or is the cleaning heart?
Yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in those Shikshashtakam
actually
talking about the cleaning process. Chaitanya Dharpanam means Chaitas is the consciousness. So by chanting Hare Krishna, Mahaprabhu is saying there that you will purify your consciousness. In other words, first thing what will happen is we won't do such things which are forbidden by the scriptures. That's the first thing. Now today we have so many activities we do which are forbidden by the Shastra. So those activities, we will only do what is absolutely necessary. That means it is a devotee's consciousness. It's necessary for my maintenance, so I have to do these certain things. So Chaitanya Arjanam is purification of one's own consciousness from that point of view. And in addition to that, he says, Bhava Mahadhavadhi Nirvavanam. Also, it cleans up this material existence, the flyer of material existence is extinguished with that. So that is the immediate effect of that. When one purifies one's consciousness, one is also able to think through things properly, and also the fear of material existence goes away. And as Mahaprabhu said, and Rupa Goswami also says this, that if the chanting process becomes absolutely perfect, if one is able to chant like that, it will clear off all the other anarthas as well. All the other anarthas as well. In other words, including the prarabdha karma can be taken away if one has perfected that. But we have to remember that just not number of rounds we chant is only the thing. It's just that getting that level of realizations from chanting, and that pure chanting of the holy name can even do that. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. Mahaprabhu is presenting this holy name process because it is simple to follow, and it has the potency in it, everything, what one can achieve through other yoga processes, system. But at the same time, it also takes its own time, and its own benefits will happen in its due course. Initiation means what? Initiation actually means that you are accepting Krishna and Krishna's representative as in your life, as a guide. And that is the process of initiation. Initiation brings you closer to Krishna. It's a commitment you are making that you will accept Krishna's instruction or Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in your life. And by doing that, in one way you are committing to Krishna that you have surrendered to Him to some extent, not fully but some extent. But how that surrender helps you, Krishna says that if you do that much, then this Agama Karma and Sanchita Karma goes away. That it is understandable also. Why? Because once you have been initiated, the chances are of committing sinful activities, gross sinful activities, is very little. If you are properly initiated and if you are properly following it, only then. And similarly, that means your Agama Karma has come to a stop there. Sanchita Karma is what spiritual master takes away from the disciple. He takes it away. He says that Sanchita Karma, what you have accumulated there in the past, is transferred to the spiritual master. But that is again the spiritual master's choice whether to take it or not to take it. He has the option. You don't have the option. So, he can take it away if he sees the disciple is serving him nicely and in the proper way. So, and it's taken away. But prarabdham continues. Prarabdham, nobody can take it away. Even Krishna also, only in very, 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 very special circumstances, he takes it away. That's why many times, great souls, although they are liberated, they still live in this world till they leave the body. Why? If you ask them, they will tell you that it is hard to finish up my prarabdha.
It is the case then, Krishna's statements in the 18th chapter, Sarvadharman Parityachya Mamekam Sarana Vraja, Akam Tvam Sarva Pavepi, means, the Sarva means what?
Yeah.
Including prarabdha. How if the verse may be good?
No, we can't analyze it like that because Sarvadharman Parityachya Mamekam Sarana Vraja. It's only very two lines in the verse. It's very simple also. Who is able to do that? Mamegam Sharanam Braja. How many people can do that? Say that I have completely taken shelter of Krishna. If you do that, then Krishna says, yes, I will take you back. And but in majority of the cases, most of the cases, I don't think we can claim that position. Claim we have no We have no claim to say that I have surrendered to you, Krishna, completely. I don't know how many of us can say that openly to Krishna, that I have given up all other process of religion, sarvadharma, paritya, and mamekam sharanam vrajam. That have I surrendered with that full heart and soul to Krishna completely? How many of us can claim that? If you do that, Krishna says, aham tvam sarvabhavibhyo. If you do that, then Krishna says, I will protect you from the reactions of all your sinful activities and offer you liberation. So Krishna will hold his word, but whether we can hold our word, that's the question.
Some devotees dedicated their life, whole service of Krishna, taking nothing, expecting nothing, nothing. But their cases is okay.
Well, it's a question of, the judge is Krishna. I can't judge that. You can't judge that. If somebody has dedicated whole, if that surrender and dedication, what motive behind it, all these things, I don't know. I couldn't say that. And the process is there, that if you surrender to Krishna and serve Krishna with full heart and without any desire for sense gratification or desire for profit, adoration and distinction. If you are able to serve Krishna like that, and Krishna is convinced that you have served him in that way, which he knows very well within your heart, who is situated, then he will offer that freedom, liberation from this life. But we have to understand that most of us are a lot to purify in our heart. There's a lot to clean up there. And that is not going to happen so easily, and it's going to take quite a lot of time from that side, point of view, that cleaning process or the consciousness. But this is the beginning of actually that purifying one's own karma by acting in the right way, in the properly situated in this world. Why? Because if that is corrected, then at least creating more material bodies comes to an end. There is no more generating new material bodies. And then that means this purification has begun, that means you are in the right track from then on. That's only guarantee it gives.
One quick question.
Yeah.
Bharat Maharaj was Rajarshi,
mm-hmm.
great devotee.
Yeah.
He ruled the world and then mm-hmm. given yeah. up for Krishna.
Yeah.
You say Prarabdha come from Sanchit.
Mm.
Right? And then Sanchit and Agaman.
Prarabdha Karma comes actually that when Bharat Maharaj got that body, in that particular body, he came, look at this way, he came to the forest. And when he came there, his plan was to perform penances. And he was supposed to practice penances at that time. And he was focusing his mind on Krishna. And he was meditating on that form. And the person who has gone into Samadhi already, Samadhi means the last stage in the realization, he has come back from Samadhi and he got attached to this deer. Why did this happen? This is the proof that even after going to the liberated state, Samadhi means that in the process what he was following, Bharat Maharaj was following, he reached the last stage of the system on a Samadhi, and from Samadhi he is coming back into the vacant state. And in that state he gets attached to a deer, which is very unusual thing to happen, which should not happen normally. Because a person who has seen and meditated on Krishna, and Samadhi state, he is actually seeing Krishna in the heart as the four-fingered form of Krishna. He is seeing there in the heart. And he has experienced that bliss from Krishna. And from that to come down and to get attached to a deer, and the excuse he has given to get attached to a deer is also a very silly thing. He says, if I don't protect this deer, who will protect the deer? This kind of thing. This is all the typical issues of the Maya's way of entangling us in this world. So from there, the acharyas are commenting that this could not have happened if he has fallen from that realized state to this condition. There is no other cause except prarabdha. That's the conclusion for that. But there is no other reason for that to happen. Evam evam asanam pranayamam pratyaharam dharana dhyanam samadhi. He has gone to the last stage of samadhi, and from samadhi he is coming. He used to be in samadhi for days together. And it says in the Bhagavatam that when he comes out of Samadhi, sometimes it could be at midnight, sometimes it could be during the middle of the day. Now, as a Rajarshi, he used to perform Sandhyavandanam ceremony. Sandhyavandanam means at the three times in the day, when they perform their oblations to the sun god and to the offerings to the demigods, which they normally do as a Brahmanas and Sannyasins also do that. So he was doing all that thing. But he stopped doing all that. Why? Because he was in Samadhi most of the time. But whenever he came back into Samadhi means in the state beyond the three states of existence. That means Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. Once you go beyond these three states of existence, it's known as Samadhi. And from Samadhi state, he's coming back to these three phases of life. And even when coming back to these three phases, that will always happen, that if you're not able to hold on to that, because they were following the impersonal realization. Remember the realization he was following? He's fallen back. When he's fallen back, he is falling down like this, to the case, to the attachment of a deha, which is something very, very unusual thing to happen. And that is where it is mentioned that this is Samadhi is due to, it was only a karma dharma.
Krishna says attachment to the impersonal Brahman is very difficult, so you assume a personal form.
Yeah, they were following the Ashtanga Yoga system and following actually the same thing what we are talking about, Stula Dharana and Sushma Dharana. He was performing the Sushma Dharana on the four-handed form. But in that Samadhi state, he was falling down again from there.
As we go through life, is right, saying that the spiritual body, if we make a spiritual advancement, it's actually a spiritual body being created for us whilst we're living this life, or is a spiritual body already with us as a soul body, and is that going to be the
spiritual body is already with us. Only thing is when the material body drops off, the spiritual form comes out.
But can it be?
Yes, it will manifest immediately.
Is it created?
Yeah, spiritual thing is not something created, right? Because this creation and destruction for us is a material thing. In the spiritual sense, it's not created or destroyed. It's something beyond our understanding that way. That the spiritual body, the living entity, when it goes to the spiritual body, we make pictures of the demigods and other things, and also spiritual body, we draw that in the four-handed form. We have a four-handed form in the Vaikuntha planet. And that form is manifest there at that point when we leave the material body. That is how it says there. But how is it done, and whether the body is produced, I don't know when it happens. But that's a liberated condition. That's all. Okay.
Jai.